2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We begin with verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. To give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now the Bible tells us and gives some indication of what Jesus looked like. The Vatican in Rome houses the greatest and largest art gallery in the world. And literally millions of dollars in tapestries and oils are there. I've never been there. I've been to the Louvre in France. I spent about 15 minutes in there, and I was ready to go. I mean to tell you, I don't take any exception with people who love masterpieces and art and all that, but when I saw the Mona Lisa, I said, well, I've seen that picture before in magazines, and I've seen it. You know, it didn't do a thing for me to see what they call an original. People standing around there just standing there. You know, just standing there. And I thought, well, I spent 15 minutes in the place and stood over there and waited for the rest of them to finish. I was finished. Now, I like art. And I like good pictures and all. But it just didn't do anything for me. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't think anyone has ever painted a picture. Solomon's head of Christ, all of them, they have different conceptions of what he looked like and all. I don't think any of them come close. I really don't. So if we're going to know what Jesus is like, what he looks like, to get a glimpse of Jesus, we're going to have to go to the Word of God. And we're going to have to see what the Bible says. So the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, has to be a sad face. When you think of the Bible, I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now, what kind of a face is that? You can't see it. Because of our sin. And so the Bible teaches us, because of our sin, our wickedness, our ungodly living, our rejection, and professing Christians who live contrary lives and can't get along with one another, and the wars and the gangs and the fightings and the filthiness that goes on, the Bible says the face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a sad face. Christians can't get along with one another. You'd be surprised if you knew what people said about you. Christians talk about you. The way they talk. I don't suppose they have anything else to talk about. So they just talk about people. Talk about the way people dress when they come to church. Talk about your kids. Well, if that was my kid, Now these are Christians. Well, professing Christians. And so we can't get along with one another. The Bible says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now, what's the difference? Well, first of all, we have to realize that the face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a shining face. The Bible is plain about that. Mount Hermon, 9,200 feet above sea level, we read, In Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 2, his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. John on the Isle of Patmos gives us a look at the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never seen a picture like this picture. So if you will turn with me to Revelation 1. Revelation 1. And John, who saw Jesus, makes this report recorded in God's Word here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I'm the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. I've seen a lot of pictures, but I've never seen a picture like this one. And this is a description of Jesus. So, what is Jesus like? Paul reveals his experience on the road to Damascus, and he didn't get a glimpse of Jesus because the light was so bright that he was blinded. Matthew describes it, Luke testifies, John vouches, and Paul declares his face is a shining face. Psalm 80 and verse 7, Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. So the face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a sad face because of us, because of our sin, because of our wicked ways, because of his children. And the way we act, the way we do, things we wear, what we say, what we do in private, his face is a sad face. Then the Bible says his face is a shining face. And then as we look further, we find out that his face is a stained face. In Bethany, his face was stained with tears. The Bible plainly says in John 11:35, Jesus wept. And as he went to the tomb of Lazarus, and Lazarus already being dead, the people say, my, how he loved him. Jesus wept. Jesus has compassion. In Jerusalem, he looked out and grieved for Jerusalem. How often would I have gathered you, a hen gathered the chicken, you would not. And the Bible says, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Not only is his face stained with tears, but his face is stained with blood. John, or rather Luke 22, verse 41, he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, if we can get a glimpse of Jesus tonight, it's going to change our attitude. It's going to change the way we talk. It's going to change the way we walk. It's going to change the way we look at other people. Because if we can get a real glimpse of Jesus, it's going to affect us. It's going to affect us from now until the return of Christ, if we can get a glimpse And the only way we can do that is a biblical glimpse. So it was stained with blood, but not only was it stained with blood, it was stained with spittle. I haven't seen the Passion. I don't have any desire to see it. I haven't seen any of the movies about Jesus. But it's utterly impossible to put in picture what happened to our Lord in our behalf on Calvary. You can't do it. You can use your imagination, but it will not go far enough. And so his face was not only stained with blood, but his face was stained with spittle. They smote him on the head with a reed and spit upon him. Mark 15:19. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Isaiah 50:6. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then that they spit in his face and buffeted him. If we can get a biblical picture which gives this complete description of the face of Jesus, we'll leave this building differently than we came in. It'll affect us the rest of our living life. A smitten face. His face was beaten. Isaiah 15:6. They gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. When they began to strike him, he didn't go like this. He took it. Now why? Because he had each one of us in this building in mind. Everyone in this house tonight. That's the reason he took it. He took our hell so that we could have his heaven. Isaiah 53:4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Matthew 26:67-68. Then did they spit on his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Luke and John give us the same account, and I want you to think of it. Face whereupon was found no sin, no insincerity, no guilt, no hypocrisy, no deceit. No doubt, no dishonesty. Cruel palms, calloused hands, hard knuckles found their mark on the brow of our Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder we read in Isaiah 52:14, his visage was so marred more than any man. Had you known Jesus before Calvary, you would not have recognized him hanging on the cross. You would not have. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ, a smitten face. General John B. Gordon, at one time, was leader of a group of men, a general in the war between the states. I refuse to call it a civil war. I didn't see anything civil about it. It's a war between the states. That's what it was. And hey, we could have another one. Somebody said history repeats itself. We came pretty close to one out there in Missouri a little while back. That happens two or three more times. You can't tell what's going to take place. You can't tell what's going to take place. General John B. Gordon at one time was a leader in the Southern Army, the war between the states. And now he's running for the high office of being in the Senate of the United States. I think it was the Senate, may have been the House, I think it was the Senate. And so he was getting ready to give a speech, and in the political arena, there are always those that oppose. Doesn't make any difference which party you're for. The other party is going to oppose you. They're going to say things about you. And they're going to stretch the truth or tell lies, one of the two. You may as well put that down in your little book. And so he was giving a speech, and they found someone that fought with him in the war between the states. One in his army that had a different political perspective than General Gordon had. And so he was supposed to speak up. And back in those days, they'd just holler out like they do in England, I guess, you know. Those guys over there, they get ready to say something, they just say it right out. They say more than we say in the church. All they say is, we don't agree with that, or they'll holler out or whatever. And it's pretty hard to even get an amen or a grunt from the average Christian today. And so there was a man that fought with him, but he had a different political perspective than the general did. And this man was approached by the others and said, look, you fought with him. It can go a long way in his defeat. If he's getting ready to make a speech, if you'll stand up and speak out against, he said, it'll be no problem for me. I didn't like him at all. I don't like him now. I fought with him. I just don't like him. And so, General got up. And he began to speak. And the signal was given by the opposition to this man, it's time to go. But he sat there. He didn't get up. They nudged him again, said, it's time now. Go ahead, go ahead. But he sat there. He didn't get up. The general went on, fulfilled his obligation of giving a speech, uninterrupted, and they rushed up to this man and said, you promised you did. What happened to you, man? He said, although I disagree with the general politically, I remember how he fought valiantly for our cause. I had not seen him since the war was over. I remember how he even protected our lives and my life. And he said, although I disagree with him politically, I could not stand up and speak out against the general. You get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's going to affect you too. But the only way to do that is to look in the scriptures to see what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. We found out his face is a smitten face, and his face is a set face. Isaiah 50 and verse 7, therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Luke 9:51, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 23, he wound up by saying, as Satan tried his best to persuade Christ to forsake Calvary, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. So, the face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a face that, when you look into his face, get a biblical perspective of the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, it just seems like you love him even more. Not only that, his face is a scorching face, John 2:15-17. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ drove them out of the temple, the Bible says, and when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple in Revelation 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and he that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. That's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. I'll give you another one too if you'll turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 verse 15. 15 through 17. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The answer is no one, only the redeemed. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a face. That the unsaved do not want to look into. Now or then, they'll want to be hidden from the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a scorching face. And then his face is a shrouded face. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to Calvary, his face was a shrouded face. You remember how Jesus was in the garden and he told his disciples to watch and pray. They failed one time, two times, three times. They went to sleep. And the third time, he said, sleep on. Take your rest. But they were awakened. They were awakened at the tramp, tramp, tramp of marching feet. And here, a detail of Roman soldiers during the dark hours of the night were marching with torches, fully equipped, and the disciples were awakened up. By the way, somebody said that's one promise or that's one command that the Church of Jesus Christ has kept till today. When Jesus said, sleep on, take your rest. And so, at a great distance, these disciples looked to see these Roman soldiers with their torches. And I'm sure they wondered, I wonder where they're going at such a late hour. And they must be have a command, a commission, that's a sign that's very important because they're wearing their armor, they're fully equipped with their weapons, they saw the torches, and they heard the march, 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 tramp, tramp, tramp of the feet, and to their amazement, the lights got brighter, and then their faces came into view, and they came right up to where the disciples and where Jesus was. And somebody said, here's one commandment that the Church of Jesus Christ has kept down through the ages. When Jesus said to his disciples, sleep on now, take your rest. Well, that may not be scriptural, but it's the truth. And one emerged and placed a kiss upon Jesus. Do you know what that proves? You can kiss the door of heaven and go straight to hell if you do not receive him as Savior. That's possible. And they took Jesus and they carried him away. And then Calvary and the grave. And then the songwriter said, lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. And then that refrain, up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph over his foes, he arose a victor from the dark domain. He lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. The face of the Lord Jesus Christ is a telling story. His face was a seen face and shall be. Every eye shall see him. We shall see him as he is. An artist had a painting of the Last Supper, and he was in the area, but he had only a curtain separating him from the gallery. And they'd all come to see it, and finally the cover dropped, and the people looked, and then something strange happened. They all began to focus on the cup. It was a masterpiece of the Last Supper, and there was the cup, and everybody began to comment about the cup. Look at the cup. Well, it looks like we could reach out and touch it. It looks like it's real gold. And it looks like it's full of diamonds and rubies. And look at the cup. And the artist heard what they said. And he came out with brush in hand, a few skillful strokes, and he covered up the beautiful cup and made it an earthen vessel. And they said, "You've ruined the cup. You've ruined the beautiful cup." He said, "In my picture, Christ must be the center of interest. He must be the focal point. Anything that takes place of Jesus Christ has to go out of my pictures." And you know, that's pretty good advice for us. And Psalm 27:8, "When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." The Bible says in Psalm 17:15, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." I shall know him. I shall know him. And redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand. Our Father, we pray that thou wilt help us to stop playing the Christian life and begin to live it. I pray, Lord, that these days, for those of us who attend this meeting house, we'll go away from here differently than we started out this week. And Father, we pray that the Spirit of God will take hold of every life here. If there's some lost, we pray that they'll get saved. Pray for this sister. Pray that somehow that Jerry will be able to get her back in, maybe tomorrow night, and that's what it will take. Under the gospel, seems like she's under conviction. And we know what the devil does when people get under conviction. He works hard at that, makes it difficult for people to be saved when they get under conviction. And so we pray for her, and we pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God will take hold of her. And even right now, you can speak to her heart, and she can come to know Christ now at this very time. We pray, Lord, for our lost friends and relatives, and we pray, Lord, that thou will help us tonight, since we've got a glimpse of Jesus from the Scripture, to be what we should be for the glory of God. So speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.